Well, it's a privilege to get to open God's Word with you this morning. As Hyun read from Psalm 23, that's actually the passage we'll be studying this morning. And I'm excited to get to share it with you this morning because I didn't introduce myself earlier. My name is Josh Feaster, and I just finished my second year of seminary. And one of the things I've been studying in seminary is Hebrew. And Hebrew is not easy for anybody who has attempted such a feat. It's a confusing language. It's very foreign. All languages are foreign, but more foreign than Greek. So I wanted to try to retain some of the things I learned, so I was trying to translate portions of Psalms this summer to just keep my Hebrew fresh. And I don't know how successful I've been, but one thing that I have been successful of is seeing Psalm 23 in a new light. Not that it's changed drastically for me, but just the imagery has become so much more real. And I've, by that, come to see my shepherd as just more and more gracious and more of my provider and really helping me with all my needs. And it's a psalm of really abundant goodness. But at the same time, behind that, it's also a psalm of neediness. And I don't know how you feel about your neediness, but I know a lot of us, our neediness tends to give us quite a bit of anxiety. Because we're needy creatures. By nature, we all need food, shelter, clothes. We need guidance and counsel and wisdom. And we need relationships with others, which often can make us feel so needy. We're vulnerable to a whole host of hardships and calamities, like sickness. Even a cold can throw off our whole week. I mean, a bad night's sleep, right? Can make us just feel incredibly needy. And that's not to mention things like disease and accidents and death and the countless tragedies that befall humans every day. And really, I think a lot of us spend so much time worrying about these things and questioning like, will I have enough? Will I have a roof over my head? What about when I'm 80? Is my retirement plan good enough to provide for me then? What if I make a wrong decision, whether in a relationship or financially or with my kids? What if I go down the wrong path in life? What if these symptoms that I've been experiencing in my body really are cancer? And we're so prone to fretting over what we don't know. We go through all the scenarios in our mind. We try to cover all the bases. We try to see into the future. We fret about tomorrow. We fret about 5 years from now. And King David in the Bible was a man just like us. He was needy. He had the same kinds of needs, the same kind of desires. And in Psalm 23, David talks about his needs. But it's not a psalm of anxiety. It's not a psalm of fear. It's not a psalm of discontentment. It's a psalm of confident trust. And this psalm wasn't written when everything was going well for David either. It wasn't when he just had an abundance, in the sense just sitting in his kingdom and everything is fine. He describes himself in this psalm as traveling through a harsh wilderness, a valley of deathly darkness. There are enemies who are seeking his ruin. Yet he does not worry about having adequate provisions. He does not fear for his safety. Instead, David travels on his journey in confident trust, knowing that his journey will surely end in the house of the Lord. And the question is how? How can David have such confident trust? How can he not be crippled by anxiety in the valley of the shadow of death? How can he not be crippled by fear when enemies seek his life? It's because he knows The Lord is my shepherd. David's security comes from his confident trust in his all-providing Lord, his all-providing shepherd. In the psalm, David imagines himself as a needy, helpless sheep. And he imagines the Lord as his all-powerful and attentive shepherd, tending to all his needs. And this is really one of the most intimate pictures of God with his relationship with his people in the Old Testament. God is often described as a rock, a shield, a fortress, a stronghold, a deliverer, the Almighty, the Creator, the King. But here David describes the Lord as shepherd. A shepherd is with his sheep all the time. He cares for the sheep. He knows the sheep, and the sheep know him. And a shepherd is responsible for the entire life of the sheep. He's responsible for the sheep's food, for the sheep's water, for the sheep's rest, for the sheep's protection, the paths it walks on. And ultimately, the shepherd is responsible for bringing the sheep home. And I don't think David chose this shepherd-sheep metaphor solely because he himself was a shepherd and knew the ins and outs of shepherding and the shepherd-sheep relationship, though that's true. David chose this metaphor, I think, because it's grounded in the Word of God. In Genesis 48:15, Jacob calls God the God who has been my shepherd all my life long. Moses also described God as a shepherd and Israel like a flock when he led them out of Egypt. He says, in what's become known as the Song of Moses, he says, "In your loving kindness, you have guided the people whom you've redeemed." You've guided them. And guided is the same word that David used in Psalm 23, verse 3, when he says, "You guide me in paths of righteousness for your namesake." And Moses continues, "In your strength, you have led them to your holy habitation." And that word led is to describe escorting livestock. The word David uses in verse 2 when he says, "You lead me beside still waters." And Moses continues and says that the place that God is leading his people is his holy habitation. And that word habitation can also be translated pasture. God is leading them to his holy pasture. The very word that David uses in verse 2 when he says, "You make me lie down in green pastures." So it's as though David looks at the Old Testament and sees the Lord has always been leading his people through the wilderness as a shepherd. Even Asaph, a contemporary of David's, whom David actually appointed to minister in the temple through music, he references the same event as Moses, the deliverance from Egypt, and he says this in Psalm 77:19. He says of God, "Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." So David seems to put this theme of shepherd in Psalm 23 to tell his listeners, this is who the Lord has always been. He has always led his people like a shepherd. He has always provided for their needs. And he is ultimately leading them through the wilderness to his own holy habitation, his own house. You can trust him. He will surely do it. And if you're a believer here this morning, you can have confident trust your shepherd is leading you to. He is the same God. You have the same God as Jacob, the same God as Moses and Israel, the same God as David. He will provide for you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He will bless you. And he will bring you to his house. So you can have confident trust in your shepherd that he will provide for every one of your needs. I just want to pray and ask the Lord to, through his word, through Psalm 23, to give us that confident trust in him, that in all of our neediness, we would turn to him and see, "I shall not lack, I shall not want." Let's ask him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation of yourself in it. And we thank you that we can say that you are our shepherd. We pray that you teach us what that means this morning. And we pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just be head knowledge, but this would be in our hearts. And that you would produce there, through your word, by your spirit, confident trust in you. For your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you listen to the words of Psalm 23 this morning, David will give us 7 reasons why you can have confident trust that the Lord will provide all your needs. 7 reasons why you can have confident trust that the Lord will provide for all of your needs. And the first reason is given in verse 1, and really the whole psalm flows out of this. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's the first reason you can have confident trust. The Lord is my shepherd. The very first word in this psalm is the Lord, the name of God. When you see the capital L-O-R-D in your Bibles, if you look at it in verse 1, capital L-O-R-D, this signifies that in the original Hebrew it says Yahweh, God's name. David begins the psalm by saying, "Yahweh is my shepherd." When the Lord was commissioning Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, Moses asked him, "What should I say to the people when they ask for your name?" And the Lord said to him, "I am who I am." And then the Lord continues and says, "Tell them, I am sent you to me. And then he says, "Say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob and Isaac, this God has sent me to you." In the Bible, names are ways of describing somebody. It characterizes something about them. And God says, "You want to describe me, Moses? I am who I am. I always am." We sang God the uncreated one. He is the uncreated one. He's nobody's son. He's nobody's brother. For all eternity, God is. God says, "You want to describe me? I am being itself. I am unchanging. I'm entirely independent. All other beings have their existence because of me. I am Yahweh, and there is no one like me. You can't compare anything on earth to me." And here David opens the psalm by saying, "Yahweh is my shepherd. The I am is my shepherd. Who's responsible for my provision? Yahweh. Who's responsible for guiding me? Yahweh. Who's responsible for protecting me? Yahweh. Who's responsible for leading me home? Yahweh. He is my shepherd." And notice that word, my shepherd. David envisions himself as a sheep, which of course means he's part of a greater flock. A shepherd doesn't usually just lead one sheep. But here David talks about the Lord as his personal shepherd. He claims Yahweh as my shepherd. He sees himself as belonging to Yahweh and Yahweh taking personal interest in him. And because Yahweh is David's shepherd, David says, "I shall not want." And want is an old word. And because this psalm has been so well loved for centuries, the modern translations haven't really updated it from the 1611 King James Bible. The thous are gone and now are you. But other than that, it's pretty much exactly the same as it was in 1611. And so to want in Old English doesn't speak of desire. It means to lack. And so David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." It's a statement of confident trust. He says, "If Yahweh is my shepherd, I will certainly never lack, ever." In Deuteronomy 2:7, God gives this promise to Israel, or Moses is recounting God's faithfulness. He says, "These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing." In the wilderness, the people of Israel lacked nothing because God was their shepherd. He's always provided for his people. And if you're a believer here this morning, the I Am is your shepherd. Yahweh is your shepherd, and he has appointed himself as your shepherd. This isn't a relationship you coerced him to. He decided and chose you as his sheep to be a part of his flock. And he has made himself personally responsible to see to it that you have everything you need. You will not lack. And David, in the next two verses, goes on to describe why it is that you won't lack. And this is the second reason you can have confident trust. The Lord is your unfailing provider. David says, if you look at it, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Sheep need food and water and rest. And this is exactly what David says the Lord provides. See, the land surrounding Israel is not best described as green pastures. It's really anything but. It's dry and rocky. It's a wilderness. And grass is sparse and often dry and tough. There were no sprinkler systems to keep large pastures of green grass readily available for sheep year-round. The shepherds in Israel had to know how to navigate through the dry and rocky terrain to the places where good grass could be found. And David says that his skilled shepherd knows where to find this grass. In fact, David says the Lord knows where the best grass is. When David says he makes me lie down in green pastures, he doesn't actually use the Hebrew word for the color green. He literally says, in pastures of fresh grass, he makes me lie down. Fresh grass. He's describing the quality of the grass that Yahweh provides for him. And there are several words for grass in Hebrew, and David chooses the word that describes the kind of grass that sprouts up after a rain. This is tender grass, the fresh grass of springtime. And sheep really couldn't ask for better grass than this. And David says, the Lord, his shepherd, takes him to pastures full of this grass. So full that it says the Lord makes him lie down there. And how does a shepherd get his sheep to lie down? He doesn't have them trained like a dog to lie down on command. Sheep only lie down when they're in a green pasture when they've eaten their fill. And so David says that the Lord's portion satisfies him. But sheep, they can't stay in the shepherd all day. They can't stay in the pasture all day. They eventually need to be led to water. And really, water is so critical in this dry and hot environment of Israel. Dehydration is a very real possibility. And David doesn't worry about this, though, because he says that the Lord brings him the water he needs. In the second part of verse 2, he says, he leads me beside still waters. And literally, this is waters of resting places. Waters of resting places. It's a picture of tranquility, of calm, refreshing pools. It's a place where sheep can drink freely in peace. Sheep are afraid of rushing water, and they can actually be seen if they're by like a torrential stream. They won't go down and drink. They'll be pacing back and forth trying to find a spot to drink. But the Lord just knows just what kind of water the sheep need, and he leads David to it. And the word that David uses for lead is another mark of the tender way that the Lord shepherds. He's not behind David driving him with a whip. He leads gently at a reasonable pace. That verb to lead means to escort with care or to gently lead. It's the word that Isaiah uses in Isaiah 40:11 when he says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Gently lead those that are with young. God doesn't lead you only at the strong's pace. If you're sick, he doesn't lead you as though you're well. He knows the pace that you can handle, and he walks with you at that pace. And this doesn't mean you won't get tired or even sometimes feel exhausted. But he will make sure that you get to where he's taking you. And he's taking you to waters of resting places. And that word resting place has immense spiritual significance in the Old Testament. It's often used to describe the promised land where God will dwell with his people. In Numbers 10:33, Moses says that the ark sought out a resting place for the Israelites when they left Sinai. And Moses says in Deuteronomy 12:9 to the second generation in the wilderness, outside the promised land, that they have not yet come to the rest and to the inheritance that the Lord your God is giving you. So through this imagery, David is saying that there is a spiritual component to Yahweh's provision as well. He meets all your spiritual needs. And this becomes really abundantly clear in the next verse. He says, he restores my soul. On account of Yahweh's provision, David says that his soul is restored. And this verse can be translated, he brings back my life, or he restores my vitality. And within the shepherd sheep metaphor, David seems to be saying that the shepherd restores strength to his sheep. A sheep can get exhausted through this journey in the wilderness to the pasture and the streams, but the shepherd, through his provision of pasture, water, and rest, brings strength back to the sheep. But what does this mean at the human level? I think it means that, you know, for a sheep, it can be restored, its strength can be restored with simply some grass and water and rest, but man requires more. And ultimately, it's God's word that restores the soul. David says this in Psalm 19. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. It's nearly the same construction that we see here. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. David says that the perfection of God's word brings him life back into his soul. So for man to experience true vitality, he needs food, water, rest, and the spiritual nourishment of God. And David says that Yahweh continually provides him with those needs. These verbs actually of he makes me lie down, he leads me, he restores. It has a sense of continuing regular activity. This isn't like something David remembers long ago. He once restored my soul 5 years ago. He's saying, no, God continually restores my soul. He continually provides for all of my needs. This is his regular activity. And David says that in the second part of verse 3, he gives us another reason you can have confident trust in the Lord. He describes the Lord as your wilderness guide. He says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And that word leads here actually is guide. It means guidance in the wilderness. And the wilderness is a disorienting place. A wrong turn in search for water could lead to death. But David does not worry because he knows his knowledgeable shepherd is guiding him down the right path. And this word for path literally means wagon tracks. Wagon tracks. It's a path that has been well worn and beaten down by wagons continually rolling over it. This is a path that's been cleared of rocks and debris with, over the years, just continual travel on this path. In other words, there's no cause for stumbling on this path. And a wagon track is a sure sign that this road doesn't lead to nowhere. And David says that these are the paths that the Lord is guiding him on. In Proverbs 2:9, Solomon says that the man who seeks wisdom will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, every good wagon track. And he goes on to speak of how good paths lead to life. But Solomon also speaks of well-worn wagon tracks that lead to death, the paths of unrighteousness. In Proverbs 2:18, he says of the adulterous woman, her house sinks down to death and her wagon tracks to the departed. So here in Psalm 23, David confidently declares that the Lord, his shepherd, guides him on paths of righteousness, paths that lead to life, abundant life now and eternal life in the future. And this is the reason why the Lord does this. Look, it says, for his name's sake. Yahweh guides his sheep in the right path for the sake of his own name, for the sake of his own honor. A shepherd's reputation depended on his ability to lead the sheep in the right direction. Losing a sheep or leading them astray would lead to a bad reputation and make him a worthless shepherd. Like, what good is a shepherd who can't lead his sheep and provide for them? And David says here that Yahweh guides the sheep down all the right paths for his own reputation. And I want you to really think about this for a minute. Like, the implications for this are huge. The Lord is committed to glorifying his name. We see that all throughout the scriptures, right? God is committed to his own glory. My glory I will not give to another. And now God is saying that glorifying his name and shepherding you are going hand in hand. The same commitment he has to glorifying you is the same commitment he's now made to shepherding you, because his ability to shepherd you, with his ability to shepherd you, puts his glory on display. Habakkuk 2:14 says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There's this prophecy that God's glory will fill the whole earth. And so we can have confident trust that therefore he will surely lead his people down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this doesn't mean you'll never sin, but it does mean that he will be continually, every day, guiding you down the path of progressive sanctification, conforming you more and more to the image of his son, until one day, as Jude says, you stand before him blameless and with great joy. So take heart. God is more committed to making you righteous than you are. You can confidently trust him. But David says in the next verse that the Lord's paths will not always be easy. He says in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, sometimes the paths of righteousness lead through a valley. And the valley is not a wrong path. God's paths include the valleys. And these can be some incredibly dark valleys. David describes this valley as the valley of the shadow of death. And that word, shadow of death, doesn't necessarily refer to death, though it could. It always at least connotes deep darkness, a deathly darkness. One lexicon translates it, impenetrable gloom. And David describes himself as a sheep having to walk through a valley of this deathly darkness. In Israel, there are many narrow canyons that have been cut into the earth from the seasonal flash floods. And they're often extremely narrow with these towering high walls, which prevent the sunlight from reaching down to the canyon floor. These canyons are often filled with dark and shadowy crevices where a predator might be lurking, waiting to seize its prey. And in David's day, there were bands of thieves who would take advantage of the limited visibility in these canyons and attack people and rob them. A flock of sheep really could be sold for quite a bit of money. But the deep darkness of these narrow valleys don't fear David. Although he can't see what hidden dangers may be lurking in this darkness, he's able to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And why? Why does David say he will not fear? It's not because he sees the light at the end of the tunnel. It's not because he sees a bright, sunny spot in the midst of the valley. It's not because of anything within himself that he feels himself to be strong. He says, for you are with me. You are with me. And notice the shift. Until now, David's been speaking of the Lord in the third person. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores me. He guides me. But now it's as though David, in his time of greatest need, looks up and sees standing right next to him Yahweh, and he says, "You are with me." And this is the center point of the psalm. There's 55 Hebrew words in the psalm, and this is number 28. So if you're doing the math, half of 55 is 27 and a half. And this is number 28 here. And it seems that through this construction, David is doing all that he can in this psalm to emphasize Yahweh's presence right there with him. You are with me, at my side, immediately accessible, every step of the way in this valley. Therefore, I will not fear. And this is the fourth reason you can have confident trust, that the Lord is your ever-present protector. Notice what David says next. He says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And the shepherd's rod was a club to bludgeon wild beasts. It had a kind of a slender handle, but there was like a ball on the end. It's more like a mace. And shepherds had to be fierce and capable killers in order to protect the sheep. Sheep have no defense mechanism, so their only security is the shepherd. And David was certainly no stranger to this when he talks to Saul when he's about to fight Goliath. He says that the Lord enabled him to beat off a bear and a lion, and I'm sure he was using his shepherd's rod. And then he says, "Your staff." And the shepherd's staff was used as a walking stick and also as an instrument for directing the sheep, for keeping them on the path. So David imagines himself as a sheep and sees his shepherd with his rod and staff, and he's immediately comforted. And on a human level, this word comfort means to console with words. It's to encourage someone who's in emotional distress. And David says that God's protecting power brings him encouragement and emotional stability in the distressing valley. And so I just want to ask today that if you're in a valley, where have you set your gaze? Where do you allow your eyes to roam? Are you looking at the Lord who is right there by your side? Or are you looking into the deathly darkness, trying to figure out what's shrouded in the darkness? If this is where your eyes roam, I can promise you that you will feel nothing but fear. We so often try to find comfort in these dark, uncertain times by trying to peer around the corner and see what's there, make out what's in the darkness. But we can't see the future. We can't know all the unknowns. But you know who does? Yahweh. And he is right beside you. The darkness is not dark to him. That's Psalm 139. He knows everything that's shrouded in darkness. He knows all that is unknown. Nothing is hidden from his sight, and he is present with you. He is with you to protect you and comfort you and guide you in the darkest valley. And the journey doesn't end in the valley. We can praise God for that. It ends in the Lord's house. As we continue on this journey with David, David says that the Lord isn't just present to protect, but he's also present to bless. In the next verse, David shifts his imagery. It seems that he leads us away from the shepherd sheep metaphor, and he starts thinking about the Lord as a king, throwing a royal banquet, and David is his honored guest. And this is the fifth reason you can have confident trust. The Lord is your generous host. David says in verse 5, look at it. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." David pictures the Lord preparing a lavish feast with all the foods, the best foods that the kingdom has to offer. And the Lord himself has prepared a seat for David at the table. And the amazing thing is that this is in the presence of his enemies. There are people who want to put an end to David, who delight in his hurt, who delight in his shame. But the Lord invites David in, receives him into full communion with himself, and commits himself to honoring and blessing and protecting David. In the ancient Near East, to host someone was a sign of friendship. And the host assumed personal responsibility for the safety of his guest. And so here David imagines himself in public, seated at the king's table while his enemies look on, knowing that his king will protect him, knowing that though his enemies hate him, he has the friendship of the king. They desire his shame, but the king is determined to bless him. And no one can stop the Lord from blessing those whom he has decided to bless. And notice that the Lord personally blesses David. He serves him. He says, "You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil." He's not commanding his servants to do this. He is doing it. In David's day, a host would anoint the head of his guests with a fragrant oil, with a perfumed oil as a sign of hospitality. It really was a mark of favor to celebrate the guest. And here it says that Yahweh lavishes favor upon David's head. And because of his abundant generosity, David says, "My cup overflows." He says it's continually filled to the brim. It's like every time David takes a sip and sets his cup down, Yahweh is there refilling it. And he's not measuring out to make sure it doesn't spill. He's just pouring it in until it spills onto the table. His cup is completely full. The Lord is continually filling his life with lavish blessings, even in the presence of his enemies. And as members of the new covenant, not the old covenant that David was under, we're not guaranteed material blessings. This was part of the old covenant. But still with us, the Lord is not stingy in blessing us. In Ephesians 1:3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's like God has opened the treasuries of heaven and has just poured out every blessing there is upon you. He couldn't give you any more than he already has in Christ. Your cup overflows. And just like with David and his enemies, no one can stop the Lord from blessing his people. Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." God has made us more than conquerors. Our enemies do not defeat us. All they can do is bring us and make us more fit to stand before God's presence in glory. And the truths contained in the next verse seem to be a logical outflow of the Lord's just generous blessings on David. David says in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And this is the sixth reason you can have confident trust. The Lord is committed to doing you good. And it seems that David might shift back here to that shepherd sheep metaphor, because on returning home at the end of the day, there was always the danger of a predator following the flock, looking for an opportunity to snag one of the sheep that's lagging behind. But David says that instead of a wolf or a lion following him home, it's the goodness and mercy of God. And actually, mercy here should be translated steadfast love. His goodness and steadfast love will follow me. And that word follow is actually better translated pursue. It's used to speak of an attacker chasing down an enemy to overtake him. And so David, by using this language, is saying that when he looks behind him, what's chasing him down? What's been chasing him down all the days of his life? It's the goodness and steadfast love of the Lord. It's like he personifies the goodness of God and the steadfast love of God, and he sees that they are just barreling down towards him. And he says, this is all the days of my life. Every single day, the Lord's goodness and steadfast love does not let up. He doesn't relent. And notice the certainty of it. He says, surely, surely goodness and steadfast love will follow me all the days of my life without fail. And this is true for you, believer. Romans 8:28 really demonstrates that truth. He says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Surely God's goodness will pursue you all the days of your life. And at this point, David has pictured the Lord as walking ahead of him. He's pictured the Lord as right beside him. And now he's pictured the Lord as behind him. So David is really surrounded by the Lord. But there's more of his presence to be enjoyed. And David shows this in the next verse when we see where his journey ends, in the house of the Lord. This is the direction that Yahweh shepherds his people, to dwell in his own house where they will enjoy his special presence forever. And this is the final reason David gives us as to why we can have confident trust in the Lord. He is our eternal hope. He has secured it, and he himself is our hope. When David says the house of the Lord, he's probably speaking of the tabernacle. This is the place where God manifested his presence on earth in a special way. And of course, God is omnipresent, which David has already demonstrated in his psalm. He's everywhere, but there was something incredible about the tabernacle in Israel. It was meant to be a return to Eden. This was a place where man could once again dwell with God. And David, not yet home from his journey, can say with confident trust, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And how can he say that? How can he have such confident trust? Because he knows the Lord is his shepherd. This is where he's leading his people. This is where he's always been leading his people. Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, the people of Israel, God has always been leading his people to fullness of fellowship with him in his own house. And this is where your journey ends as well. And we who are recipients of the fullness of revelation in God's word know that it will be even better than the tabernacle. It will be even better than Eden ever was. And this is all because of Jesus Christ. He is the greater David who perfectly trusted his shepherd throughout his whole life. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus trusted his shepherd. He knew that the Lord would be with him to rescue him from death and take him to his house. But we can also look at this psalm from another angle as well. The Lord our shepherd took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. He redeemed his people, not from slavery in Egypt, but slavery to sin. And he's calling his sheep now by name. And they hear his voice and they follow him. Sheep from every tribe and language and people and nation throughout the whole earth, he's gathering them into one flock. And he's leading them through the wilderness to the house of the Lord, where they will dwell with him forever. Could you ask for a better shepherd? Could you ask for a more sacrificial shepherd, a more loving shepherd, a more devoted shepherd, a stronger shepherd? Can anybody else defeat Satan and sin and death? Is anyone more able to lead you to the house of the Lord, to eternal life, than Jesus? There's no better shepherd than Jesus Christ. You can have confident trust in him today. You can have confident trust in him tomorrow. You can trust him with your life 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and on your deathbed, you can trust him that he is going to lead you home to his Father's house, where you will dwell with him forever. He will guide you. He will provide for you. He will protect you. He will bless you. and he will bring you to his house, where he will wipe away every tear. He'll remove all sorrow. He'll banish all fears. He'll lavish his blessings upon you. You will see his face. His name will be on your forehead. He will be your God, and you will be his people. And there's nothing more certain than this. The end has been written. The outcome has already been determined. You will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. Have confident trust in your shepherd today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we praise you that you have revealed yourself to us as shepherd, and that this is how you have decided to relate to us. You have made us as needy creatures, and we are made to depend completely on you. And we have this sure promise throughout the whole revelation of Scripture that you will provide for every one of our needs. And you are committed to doing it because it's for your name's sake. You will glorify yourself by shepherding us well, by being the best shepherd anyone could ever want. And we pray, Lord, that you'd give us confident trust in you today. And we ask this for your name's sake. Amen.